Hello, Oakless Said listener. Today, Aaron has put together quite a wonderful podcast, and this will be a recurring series mixed in with the regular feed. And it's tied to what Aaron has called, and I think is brilliant, called the enduring questions, different questions posed by people who have listened to the podcast about education in general. Today's question comes from Melinda Parks, and she asks us the question that gets us started. So that's the voice that you will hear first. And Aaron today is speaking with Kurt Bernhardt, June Kim, Adam Rogers, and Ann Beck. We appreciate any feedback you have on this show and on this episode, and we're excited to share it with you. We think this could be a fun new piece to add to the growing Oakless Said podcast. Thank you so much and enjoy the show.
Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes. I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
I teach AP World and AP European History at Westmore High School. I want to be able to use technology effectively in my classroom, but our Wi-Fi is sketchy and many of my kids don't have tech tools available either in or out of the classroom.
Hello?
June Kim.
Hey, Aaron. What's up?
Not a whole lot. What are you up to, Ben? What is your role? Where do you work and what is your role?
I work at Moore Public Schools, and I am the Director of Technology for the district.
This is Kurt Bernhardt. I'm the Executive Director of Education Technology for the Oklahoma State Department of Education.
My name is Ann Beck, and I'm currently a Instructional Technology Specialist for the University of Oklahoma at the Jeanine Rambo College of Education, and a field technology specialist for the OETT grant at the K-20 Center at the University of Oklahoma.
My name is Adam Rogers, and I work for Oklahoma City Public Schools. I am the CTE Technology Resource Coordinator.
What does that mean?
I handle all the technology for the Career Tech Department.
The reason this phone call exists is people asked for more from Oakless Said, and this is one of the first episodes of the Enduring Questions. All the technology, good, bad, ugly, what do you think there?
Technology by itself is neutral. When you're talking instructional technology, from my point of view, you've got to have the curriculum, you've got to have the content behind it before you start throwing technology at it. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time, it's a waste of money, it's a waste of effort.
Right.
It's like anything else, if you compare it to any curriculum that you work with, if you don't have the context behind the lesson, you're wasting your time and everybody else's time. You can't teach about an author without knowing the basis or background of that. You can't teach a science concept without knowing all the different things that are attached to it. Same thing with the math concept. You can teach them, you build up on it. You don't just do a lesson and say, okay, we're done. Well, it's the same thing with technology. You don't just throw technology at it saying, hey, this is the magic pill. This is the solution to all our instructional woes to give people and kids there. It's not a magic pill by any means.
Right. The biggest blunder that comes to mind was when smart boards came out, like what, 10 years ago, something like that. And everybody was like, everybody needs smart boards now. Get them in every classroom. We put them in every classroom. And then they're just glorified whiteboards.
Yes. And to some people's, when they send in a work order or ask me for help and say, hey, my smart board's not working. Okay, what's not working on it? Well, the light, when I throw an image on there, it's not coming out. It ends up being a projector, not a smart board.
Right.
So it's like, okay, gotcha.
Okay.
So it's just, it's one of those things. They, technology, like I said, is neutral. It's an enhancer. It either enhances the great teaching or it enhances the bad.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's both, I think. It is a buzzword that we like to use a lot of times to put a good spin on what we're using. It's there for the classroom forever. I think the biggest push for technology first is for the teacher in being able to utilize different tools for differentiated instruction. And I think that that's where we get a lot of our professional development wrong, is that we focus on what students can do with the technology over how teachers can utilize it, you know, as a tool to be able to teach multiple students at the same time and at different levels, and not being just teaching to what we consider a standard kid.
Gotcha.
I think is the most important at first.
No, definitely not. There's been a lot of emphasis on basically getting to, I mean, we use technology every day, and technology is becoming a more and more integral part of everybody's jobs, and just not using it in school is kind of a hole. I mean, kids these days are using technology all the time outside of school, and there are a lot of efficiencies with using it within the classroom, and a lot of new things they can do with that technology.
So I've got another question here. What about all the different socioeconomic levels that we have that exist in the school system? With the technology and the use of technology, are we just creating a bigger gap in those socioeconomic levels, or do you think we're closing the gap with it?
You know, I think it is fair to an extent. Because if you look at Oklahoma City Public Schools, the kids may not have technology at home, but they have the technology at the schools. I spend quite a bit of money to make sure they have the latest technology in the department. Now, I know with my kids going to more public schools, they don't have near the technology in the schools, but my kids have it at home.
Well, that's a parental choice, or...
No, I think most of the kids and I can't claim for all of them, but I mean, like, most of my kids' friends all have iPads or a laptop and a cell phone. So it seems to be, for me, that when you look at Title I schools, those kids may not have the technology at home, but the technology is at the school because they have title funds to pay for it.
There's definitely a lot of concern about equity, and that's a very good question. It can certainly widen the gap if the schools are buying devices for the students and having those available to the students. That definitely helps. In the situations where you have a bring your own device program, then there's definitely issues and concerns with those students who can't afford to bring much. Maybe they just have a cell phone or a laptop or tablet or whatever it might be. So it really depends on the situation, but it definitely can cause issues.
I think we're starting to bridge the gap as more schools are seeing that they don't have to provide a device for every student. I think especially in secondary schools, you know, I think as a educator, you know, we are moving towards a mobile technology. And if you're not moving towards a mobile technology and you have to say the words, let me wait till I get back to my computer so I can email you that document, then, I mean, you're not doing something right or productive, because the tools out there, you know, even Microsoft, Google, you know, Pages, all of those are cloud-based. And that's, again, where it comes into the productive side of it. And so I think that gap is closing with teachers, if they choose to, and students as well. We do still see students in rural areas, you know, absolutely without devices, but we also see a lot of, you know, smartphones and things being get, you know, it's not necessarily something that our society has seen as a privilege, but as a necessity. And so, you know, we give cell phone plans based on, you know, income. And so I always did this test was, you know, if they were able to post a Facebook or a Snapchat or something, I didn't understand why they couldn't at least do an announcement. But that also goes into the pedagogy style of, you know, that we can't accommodate because of Wi-Fi at the schools and, you know, the time it takes and time management, that there is a place that a lot of students can go to access and to submit work in most cases.
We want you to do this research online. Well, if they don't have connectivity at home, what does that do? It doesn't help them.
Right.
So, but if they're, you know, in a school district that is not one-to-one, we rely on it while they're in the building. And we got, again, it goes back to curriculum, how you're teaching it, so that even though they may not have it at home or a device at home or connectivity at home, you're addressing it through how you're providing those lessons, how you're asking kids to provide that feedback and assessment. So, it goes back to why are we using the technology? How are we using the curriculum to be enhanced with that technology? So, roundabout, short way, I think it's, if school districts are going one-to-one, they still have to address the connectivity issues, or they have to address it with how they're teaching.
Okay. What is your favorite piece of technology and why?
My favorite piece of technology, I am a big proponent of tablets, whether they're iOS or Android tablets. To me, one of the big goals from the U.S. Department of Ed and everywhere is basically giving students anywhere, anytime access to their education. And to me, tablets are portable. Whether you're talking, I consider a smartphone a small tablet. You have small tablets up to larger tablets that are computer size. And it just allows them to always have that technology available. I'm always encouraging, anytime you're wanting to learn something, you have it there available. Look up something rather than not knowing something. Just having it available all the time is, to me, key. So I think tablets do that best.
My favorite technology would probably be the Chromebook.
Okay.
Because I can use the Google Suite or the G Suite just about anywhere. I can have it on my cell phone. I can have it on my Chromebooks. I can have it on a laptop. So the Chromebook, I can get to anything I need. All my stuff is stored in Google, so therefore, anywhere I'm at, as long as I have network, I can use my Chromebook and log into my stuff.
My favorite piece of technology is anything I can do multiple things with that allows me to be creative, to do whatever I need to do at that moment in time. It's not just a one-trick pony.
All right.
So that would be my favorite. So I don't really have a specific application or device or anything like that. It's just whatever tool seems to work best at the time.
An iPad, because it is mobile, again. And I've actually started utilizing my phone a lot more because there's less of a separation of iPhone and iPad apps. There's still some, but not near as many. But again, I do believe that our students are mobile learners. They're going to be mobile workers. The idea of a desk and an office, somebody has to check into work every day, is hopefully going to be a thing of the past, because we're able to do a lot of the things that we couldn't do before mobily, and to teach our students to use their phone and tablets as things to use productively for education, for work, is a skill that's lacking in our schools a lot too. So that's one reason I choose the iPad.
All right. Well, then that leads to my next question. Are you, sir, Apple or PC?
Apple or PC? I'm all of the above. I use it all, from Chromebook to iOS, Android, PC, or Mac.
Both. I think the kids need to learn both, because because if you walk into a business and that owner of the business is an Apple person, you better know how to work that Mac.
Yes.
And if they're a PC person, you better know how to work that. So I think it's important to have both in programs. The kids need to learn both. And I know there's not a ton of difference, but there are different, you know, shortcuts and different ways to get around on a PC than a Mac.
Yeah, so I have a Mac. I love my, I mean, I have all three. I've got a Chromebook, a Mac, and a PC. I use my Mac for almost everything, but I am highly Google, you know, I use a ton of, so I love the Mac with the G Suite. Because I want to be able to get my text messages and I can type faster than I can, you know, text on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
I love the intermingling that Apple has, but I totally am a Google person. Well, what is your favorite app or program that you're using right now? And what are you using it for? What is your go-to app and what do you use it for?
Oh, my. I don't know that I just have one. I use Notability for note-taking. It's great for anything that you want to take notes on. You can record. You can record. You can do all types of hand-drawn notes or typed notes. PDF Expert is a great app for handling PDFs and marking up PDFs. I often put anything I want to learn, anything I want to read, I put it in PDF form and then use that so that I can mark it up. And
favorite app or program right now that I'm using is the Microsoft OneNote. It has been an awesome tool because I've been getting into sketchnoting with you when we first took those classes together. And I was using Paper 53 at the time, using an iPad app. But with us as a district moving to OneNote and the Microsoft products, OneNote has actually increased its capabilities to ink. So it's been an awesome tool where I can bring in emails, documents, I can still sketch, I can do a lot of different things. It really is a trapper keeper on steroids plus a inking capability that allows me to do a lot of different things with it. I'm a horrible speller, so I use Grammarly in my Chrome. It's a Chrome app extension, whichever one it is, I can't remember. But it checks my spelling and my grammar for me. So, yeah, that is probably my favorite one right now.
Okay, so I use Grammarly too, and can I tell you, I'm a highly competitive person, and I like that it sends me an email each week saying, you spelled, you know, this many words better.
Words wrong, yes.
I'm always in competition with myself to see if I can get better.
Yep, I agree.
I'm a dork, yeah. Sorry.
Probably Seesaw, and just because that ties into my job. I think that, again, we put the carriage before the horse a lot of times and promote students creating with iPads or with technology and, you know, the SAMR model and, you know, not just using Google Classroom just to replace the digital worksheet with a paper worksheet. Seesaw really encourages that, you know, adaptation to new lessons in the way we deliver them. And I think before you start utilizing some of these tools, you have to create a digital basket. Because a lot of people will just be like, oh, I want to use this, I want to use that. They get a whole bunch of media on their computers, their iPads were nowhere to put it. They can't no longer just go to the back of the room and hand in their digital video. You have to have a basket in the cloud, and it's just very easy to use. It's very intuitive. They offer tons of support for their teachers. The free version is more than enough for a teacher to use, and it's just a great, great tool.
It looks so little. Do you think they're going to give it a facelift for middle school or high school, or is there?
No, I mean, you don't default to, like, you know, the younger looking profile pictures. They've added activities. You know, I think just maybe the color of the app, they may progressively change it. I would maybe suggest, you know, kind of, I don't know if you've seen the new Dropbox icon, but I mean, you know, you can, or Kindle icon, I mean, maybe they change it to a little bit more, but I think inside of it, I think we may think that, or some of us that have really utilized it, but I've seen a lot of, especially middle school students, you know, utilize Seesaw, and in high school, you know, I mean, you always have Google Classroom and stuff like that, but in high school, if schools could have the proper funding, you know, my opinion, I think they should be using things that are going to be similar to Canvas and Blackboard, things like that they're going to see in college. So that's in a perfect world as well, too, just so that they're used to an online environment or a blended environment by the time they get to college and they're not so lost. Because that's another thing. I mean, with Rashawn Richards's book, Blended Leadership, you know, the other need for us to really infuse this technology and giving feedback digitally, not just writing on a paper or saying something physically to a student, is a lot of these first-year classes are online classes, and students haven't been used to taking classes or accepting feedback in an online forum. You know, the way you read things can be interpreted, you know, depending on how periods are placed and what kind of mood the person reading it is. And so as a high school and secondary teacher, when we're allowed to give them that, then they know they can always come the next day and talk with us. And, you know, it just helps them kind of build that online communication with them to, you know, when they get to college where there's not as much support, they're not seeing a professor every day, they're not freaking out because they get a comment that they're reading and interpreting, you know, 5 million different ways, you know, as negative or positive. So if that makes sense.
You've got to be able to use a ball peen hammer, or you're going to use a penny nail hammer, depending on what you're doing. I think it's just whatever you're comfortable with. And that's why the curriculum and the programs and the applications, what you're teaching has to be agnostic and be used on any platform.
Yeah.
And just, so
I think I
really don't have a preference one way or another, because I use my Microsoft products on my PCs, but I can use those same programs on an iPad or a Mac program.
Yeah.
So that's really the thing, that the shell and the operating system, it shouldn't matter.
So June Kim, you're saying educators need to be ambidextrous.
Yes. That is an awesome word. I can't even say the word.
Ambidextrous.
Okay. Easy for you to say.
All right. Well, any last words about technology to go out to the teachers of, you know, Okla Ed or gosh, the nation? Okla Ed is so big nowadays. We are far reaching past the state boundaries. Any last words for anybody listening?
I just say, if you find a piece of tech that you want to try, do it. Try it. Don't be afraid. Just get out there. Somebody knows how to use it. Ask questions.
And YouTube. Gosh. You can
YouTube. Oh, no doubt. YouTube's got everything. So,
awesome to discuss tech and ed tech in particular.
I'm a big proponent of technology in the hands of students, even if it's their own technology. I mean, there are a lot of schools who think, well, technology needs to stay in pockets, in lockers, or whatever else. But, there's a lot of kids who have smartphones, and those can be used for education. It's just learning how to use those appropriately, and also teaching kids how to, use them for education and not for other things during class time. But I think it's a great tool.
Okay, so as you can see, that felt like a complete train wreck. Or maybe you didn't see that. I don't know. Maybe I tried to demand perfection, and there were, to be quite honest, a couple of times throughout that process that I thought that I needed to scrap that and start over. I recorded in one long line several phone conversations, and so then I had to split them all apart, and then I had to split apart their answers to put them all together, and I thought, gosh, there should be a better way. But hopefully the second episode of the Okla Said Enduring Questions will come at you a little more clean. I took some notes on how to make it better, and hopefully this came across as coherent. Technology is hard. It's not hard. It's hard with all of the ways that we have learned as teachers that we could use it. It's hard to decide where and how and what kind and what's the best tool. And is there one best tool or are there five best tools? I think it really just comes down to being as informed as possible and then seeing where it fits
And so I hope with this episode of Enduring Questions from Oklahoma Said, you are either a little more clear or need to hit up an ed camp to find out some more about technology. Have a great day.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.